Welcome to the Amplifying Leadership Podcast. I am your host, Tara Lehman, a partner, coach, and consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services, of which Amplifying Leadership is a division. This podcast is the place dedicated to amplifying your leadership through our guest stories, tips, information, and more. To learn more about our leadership division, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am welcoming Dr. Francois Brooker-Drew, founder of Reconciliation and Restoration Foundation and president of Solstice Consultancy. Welcome to Amplifying Leadership.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here today.
And we have a good topic that we're going to talk about today. But before we get to that, why don't you tell our audience a little bit more about you and your leadership journey?
You know, my leadership journey was one that I really stumbled into. It wasn't something where I set out and said, I'm going to be a leader. I think I saw people in community who were doing really amazing things. And I remember as a teenager, Dick Gregory coming to my town. He is now deceased, but this amazing author and comedian and humanitarian. And he was bringing people together to deal with some challenges in our community. And I remember watching not only his persona, but and the charisma that he had, but I saw somebody who was committed to a cause. And I think that was one of the early examples for me of wanting to help give back to my community. And so, you know, when I got into college at the University of Texas at Arlington, I started being involved in campus leadership, and it evolved from education and the nonprofit space, which is where I've done most of my work, to really focusing on how do I help leaders now and helping them with understanding their story. Because I don't think as leaders, we often pay attention to how our stories shape us. And so my journey has just really been one of this amazing story with people who poured into me, who cared about me, who modeled for me what it looked like to give back and at the same time be reflective about my own growth as I'm doing that in community.
That's awesome. And I love that you bring up the stories part, because we have to learn from our own stories and share our stories so others can learn, right? I mean, really important, especially in leadership. So love that you brought that up. Now, I understand that you do love to discuss and have even written about achievements and struggles of women, more specifically women in color, but in leadership. So why does that really resonate with you?
Because, you know, it goes back to that story. I think it, for me, was being in a time where I didn't see a lot of women of color in leadership. And it had nothing to do with intelligence. It was, you know, opportunity. And I think for a lot of women, you don't always have those role models. And I think for me, it has been important to do a couple of roles. It's how do I serve as a coach to encourage and inspire women? But how do I mentor and giving them the wisdom and sharing those experiences? I think when we do that, we accelerate people's growth. And so I wanted to be able to help, because so many of the things that I experienced was firsthand, you know, having to have the challenge. And I think if we can share those with others, we help them to grow and achieve faster. But I also realized that women need sponsors. And they need folks to be able to say their names in rooms that they're not in. And whether that, you know, in the nonprofit space, it's not just about the jobs, but it's access to board leadership positions. And so helping people to really get access was important to me. I recognized in my own journey that access and availability of opportunities were often challenging. And so I want to be able to make it easier for folks who may be marginalized, regardless of the identity that they may have. How do we make space to ensure that people have access to these rooms and these tables? Because I think we are better, you know, it's cliche-ish to say it, but it's true. We're better together. And I think it's, what does it look like to make sure that we are creating these spaces for people to be there? I know early in my journey, my challenge was age. And quite often it was difficult to be or have access to a lot of opportunities because people would look at you and dismiss you because you were young. And in remembering that, I wanted to make sure that younger women, through my writing, through my mentoring, through the sponsorship, that they didn't have to go through some of the same things that I went through very young in my career because people just went, oh, she's young. She didn't know, she didn't have experience. Well, how do I get experience if I'm not given the opportunity? So I want to do it different.
I love that. And I love that you talk about sponsorship because that is a key piece, mentoring, however people do it. Those two things are very key, to helping people grow and learn in whatever industry they're in. I come from trucking and transportation. So as you can imagine, there's probably more of a gender issue with that. And in, in some cases, it could be other things like race issues or whatever. So I found it very important that my mentors were there and sponsoring me when I wasn't there. The leaders I had, they were amazing people, and they did things like that to help me grow. But you really do need that. So I love that you brought that up. So did you have a sponsor or a mentor, or did you just come into this because you knew it was needed?
Oh, it's both. I knew it was needed, but I have been so blessed to have women and men who decided that there was something in me that I couldn't see in myself and decided to invest in me and pour into me. And there were people who looked like me. There were people who don't look like me who said, I see something and I want to be able to help you. And that's such a part of the narrative that is my life is having these, I call them destiny helpers, having these people who've been positioned throughout my life to say, let me, introduce you to this person. You know, the term that I love is this ideal of social capital and the relationship building. These were people who were critical in helping build my relationships with others because they made introductions. They didn't hoard their relationships. They basically said, there are some people that I know can help you. And as they were pouring into me and opening doors, they introduced me to a world that I would have never had access to. So those relationships have been critical in my journey.
And people can find those for sure, either through their coaches or mentors in their own companies or sponsorships, of course. I want to ask you this because there are some people who aren't like you and I, who aren't trying to, don't understand that they need those types of things or opening their own doors for them. Do you feel that some of us hold ourselves back and don't become what we believe we should become because we don't have access to this or don't know about this?
Yeah, I think we have to, start with self and the looking at the limiting beliefs that we have. And I think so often our mindsets, I know many of us have heard about the growth mindset and the fixed mindset. I think it's important as leaders to think about our posturing and what is the posture that we have? Are we allowing ourselves to be open vessels to opportunities? And that comes in the form of people in relationships. Or do we have these limiting beliefs because we may have had bad experiences before? I talk about in my writing, I had an experience early in my career where there was this lady I looked up to, and she would set up meetings, wouldn't show up. And I remember feeling like, oh, wow, she doesn't value me. I felt dismissed. And I would see her meeting with other people. But because at the time I didn't have the title and the position, she didn't create space for me. I could have easily looked at that situation and said, everyone is like that. So I'm not going to pursue relationships with people who I, perceive as being in positions and can help me. I did the opposite. I felt like, well, that person missed out on an opportunity. There are other people who are
Excellent.
not that way. And so I think it really boils down to what is the view that we have of ourselves and our possibility. Humility is important and recognizing that, but I think you have to make sure that you have humility and confidence and they coexist together, that we can be people that create space for others and love others and have compassion. But we also have to know our own value and worth and that we deserve to be at the table. If there is a place for us, and if it isn't, how do we go and create that? But it's knowing that we have the ability to do it.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And so that takes me to my next question about communication, because we do know that, some people, like For me, I could have been very shy in the trucking industry because it's so male dominated, or another industry where another diverse issue happens. And of course, you write about women of color. So, when we think about that and we want to communicate that we want more, or as a leader that we want to bring you up, but you seem, a little bit holding back because of limiting beliefs, right? Maybe that's the way we go. As a leader, Tara's holding back because she's limited her beliefs to not opening the doors for herself. Like, what would you tell people who are feeling that way so that they can reach out and say, hey, I want a mentor over here. I want someone to help me move up. What would you say?
I think it's a both and. I think as leaders, when we see people like that, I think it's important for us to crack the shell. And I think that's learning your team and learning the people that are around you and seeing beyond what's visible now, but seeing the potential and possibility. So I think as leaders, we have to be willing to step out and not just go for the low-hanging fruit of the people that are easy to grab and work with. I think the flip side of that is, as individuals, I think it's going to be important to surround yourself with people who affirm you. And I think when you're in the workplace, it's what does it mean to really begin to identify, the tribe, the people that can support you and encourage you. If you're around people that are negative, and there's been all this research, it's this Framingham study where they looked at people who smoked, and the folks who were smokers ended up having others around them who smoked. It was contagious, the behavior. I think we also have to be aware of our surroundings, and if we have people around us who are negative and who affirm, what's not possible, we're going to believe that. And so for that person who's going, I don't know if I can lead, surround yourself with people who are doing that. Put yourself in environments of people who affirm you, who challenge you, who stretch you, who speak to your potential and your possibility, and who don't speak to the problems and the barriers that are there. I think when we choose to not only change our thinking, but also begin to find people that will support us, that's when we can really begin to start tapping into who we are, because those people will become a reflection for us. When you surround yourself with greatness, you're going to have that reflected to you, and you will begin to respond, and that taps the greatness in you.
Yeah, I agree a lot with everything you're saying, and how difficult it can be when you are surrounded by the people who aren't trying to support you, and really it's about challenge at that point. Like if you don't have a choice but to sit in an office 9 hours a day or be out back 9 hours a day or whatever that looks like for you, and it's a negative atmosphere, you have to challenge yourself in that case to open
Yes.
your doors, right? Because you won't have the support. You're not going to be able to say, hey, me, and I had that in my
Yes.
very early career where, you know what, I'm done with this. I have to move on. And in some cases, that is you opening the door, right? And
Yes.
that led me to where I am today because I left that company and said goodbye, right? And
Yeah,
the
and you
next
know your
company,
value.
value, huge. Okay, we can talk about values all day right now because you staying in a company where disrespect is the norm or where the culture is just not your fit, you need to challenge yourself. I'm not going to tell people to leave their jobs, of course. People need money,
Agreed.
right? But challenge that value. Do you align? What do you think about that?
I think you have to recognize that if you were able to get that job, there are other opportunities that are even better that are available to you. Does it take time to get it? Yes. And I'm one who believes if there is an opportunity in the culture to be able to be a catalyst for change, then you try your best to be able to be the positive role model. But when it contaminates your soul and spirit, where you are becoming toxic, like the environment that you're in, that's not a healthy place to be in. And I think you have to make the decision of, I deserve more. And I think, one of the challenges that I think we all struggle with is defining our non-negotiables. And I think for many of us, we walk into work environments because we seek money. And yeah, all of us need to eat and pay bills. But you can compromise your values when you don't have requirements of where you're going to spend 8, 9, 10 hours a day. And so if this is a place that doesn't align with your values, and is going to be more harmful than helpful, you got to examine if that's where you want to spend the majority of your waking hours at.
I mean, in my case, it was so toxic. I left without another job. It was so I couldn't even
I've
go in
done
the
that
door
too.
anymore. Yeah, like you just,
I've
I
done
used to
that.
sit in my car and convince myself to go into the office because I just couldn't handle it anymore. And I did leave. Luckily, I got a job right away and it was a fantastic place. But there's a lot of
Yes.
challenges that come. So let's veer back to some of the struggles that we may have. You know, just getting into leadership. So when we think about different diversities, my case, men versus women, of course, in the trucking industry is the biggest one. Again, not saying that's the only one, just the one I experienced.
Right.
And you talk about women of color. So what are some of those, you know, those struggles that we can have to get into leadership, even if we're happy where we are?
I think the struggle is quite often one of them is sponsorship. People typically sponsor people that are like them, that they like, that they're in proximity to. So if you're not always in those spaces, it can be very hard to be seen. So I think it's how do you make sure that you are creating opportunities to be seen, to be heard, to be in those spaces. I think it's also thinking about how do you find opportunities. And sometimes it requires, I know for me early in my career, it was often taking on a little bit more.
That's what I
So
did too.
the
Projects, yeah.
I had to take on a little bit more. And I know that, there is a crowd that says, no, I'm not going to do that because I'm not getting compensated for it. To each his own. I know for my path, it was seeing that there were opportunities and going, I want to do this because I want to broaden my skill set. I want to be able to have that. And whether that's within an organization or even outside, taking on community roles, serving on boards of directors, volunteering in your community. So you meet people that may be able to open doors. I think you have to figure out what's going to be your route, but the common denominator in it is you got to open your mouth and say that I want to do something. I want this opportunity because people don't know if you want to be in leadership. Sometimes it is people see your work ethic and go, yeah, we need this person. But quite often, you have to be an advocate for you. And so I think if you want to be in those positions, you have to be willing to, as I tell my daughter all the time, bet on you.
Yes, love
You have to
that.
bet on you. When no one else is seeing your value, you have to take the risk and go, I'm worth this. I'm going to try. And even if I shoot for the stars, I'm still with the moon if I don't make it. So you're worth it.
I love that. You're still with the moon. I love that. Yeah, that's amazing. And I think that's the kind of thing we need to tell people when they just feel like they're stuck, and we know that, to remind them. And I did a post in January on this, to remind them that you can open your own doors. I mean, I did that my whole
Yes.
career, right? I mean,
Yes.
you have to take on those little projects at the beginning so people can see what you are. You have to open your mouth and tell them what you want or what your dreams and goals
Yes.
are. Love that you bring
Yes.
all that up. And I love that you pass that on to your daughter because that's really, really important, right?
I remember telling her, ask for what you want because a man in a suit and tie just did. And so you have to be willing to open your mouth and say, this is what's important to me. Otherwise, people won't know. And I think we make the mistake as people who want to lead and leaders of trying to be mind readers. That's very dangerous. So say it, put it out there and see what happens.
And that goes back to the communication, like that one-on-one conversation with a leader and an employee can really open eyes, right? Really, you know, just
Yes.
tell you what they're actually looking for. Let me ask you this. If you were in front of a group of young people who are aspiring to be leaders, and you know, maybe they are the women of color or the other diversities, what would you say to them today?
Do not despise small beginnings. I
Love
think so
it. I'm
often,
clapping.
I think so often we want the big title in the corner office and the six-figure salary, not recognizing that there has to be a beginning. And so I have learned in my life that nothing has been wasted. Even some of the jobs, like you mentioned, walking away, I remember walking away from some that I hadn't been on very long. And I was like, yeah, this isn't it. but I trusted me. And it resulted in so many great things happening for me. And so I think you have to recognize that all of the things that you go through have impact. It's your decision as to how you choose to view those things that happen. So don't despise the small stuff. If you're starting off in an entry-level position, nothing wrong with that. You continue to learn. And this is the thing. I think so often we focus on what companies are getting that we don't focus on our own growth and what we're getting. So every job you go to, learn as much as you can, build as many relationships as you can, use it as an opportunity to grow you. And the company will benefit at the same time as you are growing too. It's this, you know, parallel destiny that happens for the organization and for the person. And so y'all don't despise those small beginnings, because they are the foundation for your success.
I agree. Like when I think about the one company I left and then I got into the next company where I stayed for so long with amazing opportunities, I think it wasn't a bad thing, right? It got me to where I am today because of that, right? Yes. We learn from these things and we find the right places that resonate with our values, and we learn from that. So I 100% agree with you. Like, don't look back at it and go, oh my gosh, that was the worst time ever. Yeah, it was difficult.
Yes.
But if I didn't do that, where would I be today?
Exactly. And I look at all of those experiences that I've had, and some were toxic, some were traumatic. And yet I don't think I could handle what I do daily had I not had those experiences. So see it as preparation for your next. That's all.
Yeah. Or a lesson learned if it's something that didn't work out. Right. Because even when you think about like those places that you and I both left, we think, okay, well, that was bad. It was toxic. It was a bad experience, but I moved on and that got me forward. If I, you know, if you haven't done that, where would you be today? So it's really important that we actually listen to what we need to do. And you had mentioned this a few times today, get talking with people, networking with other people, find who is that person or those group of people that really help elevate you, right?
Yes, yes. Yes, you have to make sure that you have not only this extended network. I think it's two things. It's the extended network, but it's the inner circle. You need your personal board of directors. You need those folks who are going to go, you know better, you could do more, who challenge you and see things that you can't see in yourself. They serve as your rearview mirror. They're they're able to go, we know what happened behind you and what you've gone through, but we also know what's coming and we want to help you get there. And so we got to make sure that we have the inner circle, but we have this external network that's a safety net of support.
And I like that you call your inner circle your board of directors, because really it's like a personal board, right? You
My
coaches, for example, are part of my personal board, right?
Yes.
Because they can help keep me accountable to what those goals are, just as an example, right? So I love that terminology. Love it.
Thank you. I live by it. I live by it. You got to have people who are going to call you out. I would have never gone back to school at almost 40 years old, and this has been years ago, to go get a PhD. I would have never gone back if it had not been for my board of directors who said, girl, get your butt up and go to school. And I'm like, I'm married. I have a kid. I'm working full time as a leader, managing a team across the country. How am I going to do that? And it happened.
Exactly. Wow. What an amazing conversation today. It's been absolutely fabulous. And I know you have a book. So if our audience wanted to either get in touch with you directly or learn more about how they can purchase your book, can they find you somewhere online?
Yes. My website is drfrancoisbooker.com. And you can find out more about the book. It'll be coming out in June. It's called Front Porch Wisdom. And even though the target is women of color, I have folks who have pre-read it who are not women of color who have said the wisdom in this book is universal. So I hope people get it and enjoy it.
Congratulations on that coming up in June, you said?
Thank you. Yes, in June.
Excellent. And just so everybody knows how to spell your first name, it's Frosswa for the website.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. I forget. I've had it all these years.
Okay. No worries. So thank you so much for sharing your tips, experiences, and all of this knowledge today. It's greatly appreciated.
I'm honored to be here and thank you for the opportunity.
Of course, we want to thank you, our audience. We do hope you were able to gain some valuable information today. If you are a leader who knows that leadership coaching, consulting, and community are the way to grow your leadership journey, or perhaps you want to be a leader one day and wish to learn more about our Rise to Leadership programs, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca, a Twin Life Coaching and Business Services division. Until next time, remember, leadership matters.